Matthew chapter 21. You know, Jesus in the New Testament was a problem to a lot of people because they denied his divinity. And the same is true today. I think we could say that Jesus is a problem to people apart from inspiration. Those that reject the authority of the Bible have the same problem with the Son of God and the subject of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 21, I'd like you to turn there in verses 8 through 10. Matthew chapter 21, verses 8 through 10. And verse 8 says, "And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this?" Yes, he is still a problem today to a lot of folks. There's a lot of people still asking, who is this Jesus? What do we really know about him? And they go to all other sources of information except the biggest source of information. Amen? Our Bible. Let us pray tonight and ask the Lord to bless our time together. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity tonight to be with your people and the family of God. And Lord, we ask that you would bless the Word of God to our hearts tonight. Help us to take a good look at you and to focus on you. And Lord, that this week we may walk with you, and we'll be sure to thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, there are times in the ministry when I don't really know what to preach on. And they are rare, they are few. But I remember my pastor told me many years ago, he said, "Steve, there will be times in the ministry when you don't know what to say. When those times come, just preach on Jesus." And so tonight, I'm just going to preach on Jesus tonight. Amen? Especially, you know, after the news of this morning, I just want us to all focus on Jesus tonight. Amen? And so, we will for a few moments focus on our Lord tonight. Last week I preached on things that Christians believe. And we carried it on to Sunday morning and Sunday night. And we talked about a dozen things of what Christians believe. When people ask us, "Well, what do you believe? I'm a Christian. What do you believe?" And so we were able to define that a little bit. And we read about how that Jesus questioned his disciples. Last week we mentioned that as they were walking, after he performed the miracle, he pulled his disciples aside and he said to them in private, "Whom do men say that I am?" And they answered him, "Some say that you are the prophet or a prophet," and others said that you're something else. And Peter gave his great proclamation of faith that is famous to this day. And he said that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter, when he opened his mouth, sometimes he said some wonderful things. Other times he would just put his foot in his mouth. Some theologians say he had a chocolate-covered foot because he was always putting it in his mouth. But Peter was a great apostle and a wonderful disciple of Christ, and he did walk on water. And even though he had gotten in trouble from time to time, he had great faith in the Lord and was a martyr for the Lord Jesus. But he gives his great public declaration of faith, and he confesses that with his mouth. You know, confessing Jesus with our mouth is an important part of our salvation. Amen? If we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth, we shall be saved. You know, every time we sing hymns is an opportunity for us to confess with our mouth what we believe. Amen? And so we encourage folks to sing and to sing with all their heart to the Lord. It's an important part of our Christian experience to confess Him with our mouth. And the song service is designed for that purpose. Didn't Jenilyn do a good job tonight on that offering number? She's really coming along. And we want to encourage her to keep practicing. But the claims of Jesus are either divine or they are terrible. People say, "Well, I don't think Jesus was the Son of God, but he was a good man." No, he's either the Son of God or he was a liar. There's no middle ground. He was either God in the flesh, and everything that he did according to the scripture was correct and true, or he was a deceiver. And we, of course, accept him as the Messiah and as the Son of God. But the question came up continually in his ministry. Who is this? What authority does he have in saying those things or doing the things that he did? But I want us to focus tonight on this person of Jesus. And actually the word "this" as pointing to him and describing him in this New Testament tonight. In Matthew chapter 13, if you'd like to turn there. Matthew chapter 13 and verses 53 through 58, the end of the chapter. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in the synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, "Whence hath this man," notice that word "this," pointing to him, focusing on him, "whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works?" Notice 55, this is the only way they knew him up until this point. "Is not this the carpenter's son? And is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas, and his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things?" And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, "A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country, in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief." Jesus was much more than he seemed to be. Amen? And when he started his public ministry, the people in his hometown, they were astonished because they only saw him as one thing. They saw him only as the son of Joseph. They saw him only as the carpenter's son. And so what seems is not always what is. That old saying, you can't judge a book by its cover. Amen? And so Jesus lived his first 30 years of his life, a humble life, a useful life, a productive life. And then when he started his public ministry, people kept saying, "Who is this? Why is he doing this?" Mark gives the account in this the same portion of the timeline of the life of Christ. Mark records that it says, "Is not this the carpenter's son? And is he not the son of Joseph?" And so it seems that Jesus worked his trade right up until the beginning of his public ministry. I wonder what it was like for him to finally lay down the hammer. I wonder what it was like for him to finally, he came to the point where he knew that his public ministry would start and he would no longer be a carpenter, he would no longer live at home, but he would go and fulfill the will of God for his public ministry to go to Calvary, perform his miracles, to prove his deity, and to teach his disciples and train them so that they could go out into all the world. I wonder what it was like that last day. It must have been nostalgic. You know, we often, we don't realize the really more important times in our life that are fleeting moments, do we? I remember the last day of high school. I remember it more now than I did then. Back then, it was, get me out of here. I didn't realize the significance of it. But now looking back, I would have enjoyed it more that last hour. I would have enjoyed it, maybe walk the hallway one more time. Maybe talk to another teacher one more time. But we often don't appreciate the moments, the important moments in our life till they're gone. I wish that I could spend another hour with my father. I remember the last time that I took him back to the nursing home. We kept him on the weekend, and Sunday night we would take him back to his room at the VA hospital. And I remember wheeling him to the window. And I remember he said, "Steve, take me to the window. I want to look out the window." And I'd take him there and he'd say, "Steve, open the window. I want to see the sunshine. And I want to see the activity out there." There was, looked like 100 motorcycles in the parking lot, and guys were talking, and they came there to cheer up the veterans, and he wanted to be a part of that even from his window. And if I knew that would be the last time that I would speak to him in this life, I would spend some more time with him. We often don't realize the most important times in our life till they pass us by. And so Jesus, no doubt, he hung up his hammer one day and went off to do God's will. And he was more than he seemed to be, even to his family. Until he was 30 years old, he's known as one thing and one thing only. He was the carpenter's son. And this was his manner of life to that point in the eyes of others. As I said, his life was not one of idleness, but of working and working with his hands. He was a carpenter by trade. No power tools, amen, 2,000 years ago. I know carpenters have a hard life today, but can you imagine being a carpenter back then? I mean, we're talking manual labor. We're talking that old-fashioned saw. Amen? What takes a power saw like 2 seconds today might take you a half an hour back then. But it was hard work and hard labor and an important trade handed down from father to son. His work as a carpenter showed his great humility that the Son of God would be engaged in such common labor to this point. A humble life, a poor life. To the town, he was just one of the sons of this average family. And the townspeople quickly became sarcastic to him and towards him because they thought that he was too ambitious. They saw it as ambition, not a calling. After all, he hadn't gone to their schools. He wasn't educated by their religious leaders. And so they just thought that he was just too ambitious for his own good. And the fact is, he had a high calling from God. Amen?
Amen.
And though he had not studied with their leaders, to them he was just a nobody trying to be a spiritual somebody. And the reality was, he was God in the flesh, walking with God and doing God's will. They would not listen to the talk of a carpenter's son. And as we read in the scriptures, they were offended at his perceived ambition. They did not and could not see what was inside of him. They could only see what he was. They could not understand his calling. And so the scripture records the word that they reported of him. Is not this the carpenter's son? I'd like you to look at Matthew chapter 27 as we take a good look at Jesus tonight, as we point him out in the scriptures. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 46 through 54. This is about the time of his death, and the Roman soldier makes a proclamation concerning him. In about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice. You know, we had communion this morning. It's always a wonderful time, isn't it, with the church family, when we could stop everything and just do one thing together and remember his death. It's always a special time, isn't it, when we collectively think of all he endured on the cross. And just a wonderful time. But notice in verse 46, about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is to say, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, "This man calleth for Elias." And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, "Let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him." Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Can you imagine standing by that graveyard at that moment in time, at that moment in history, when the Bible says the graves opened and people walked around in resurrected bodies? Amen? Say, "Pastor, do you really believe that?" "Yeah, I really do." You say, "Why do you really believe it?" "Because it's in the Bible." Amen? Amen. And it is the Word of God. Verse 53, "And came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake, and they also saw the things that were done," they witnessed these dead bodies coming out of the grave, going into Jerusalem, And after seeing all of these things, verse 54, that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly this was the Son of God. Amen. They got it right. That centurion got it right. The religious leaders never did get it right, did they? When he saw all that happened around the cross that day, he was convinced. He saw that this rejected king was really a ruling monarch. This centurion, it said that a centurion is in command of 100 soldiers. And so he confessed what the scribes and the elders denied. You know, education is a wonderful thing as long as it doesn't get in the way of common sense. You know, we seem to worship education today. I'm for school, I'm for education. But listen, if education ever goes against your faith in the Bible, take the Bible every time. Amen? Amen? And so, the claims of Christ have since then appealed to the common man. And strangely, it still offends the religious leaders that misunderstand that the Bible is really divine. It's hard to believe that someone could stand behind a pulpit and not believe the Bible is inspired. They need a new calling, amen? They need a new way to make a living. To stand, I can't imagine someone standing in front of a pulpit and preaching from a book and not believing that that book is the Word of God from cover to cover. And yet we have theologians today that actually get hired in churches. They deny the miracles. They deny the inspiration. They say Jesus was a good old guy. And then they talk about other things other than the Bible. And yet there are many places like that today. Amen? People go to church and they come out just as lost, and no hope, and no message from God. But this high-ranking soldier was referring to Jesus when he said, truly this was the Son of God. He certainly was not misunderstood. He saw and he believed. In Matthew chapter 8, we have another instance of the disciples referring to Jesus. And Jesus certainly can stir people up. You know, he wants to stir up people's lives today in a good way. Some people need stirring up. Their family's falling apart and they still won't call on the name of the Lord. I don't understand that, do you? It seems to me that if a family's breaking up and they know the way, the truth, and the life, they'd be on their knees talking to the Lord instead of listening to the pride of their heart and letting the world crumble around them. But Matthew chapter 8 and verse 23 through 27, the Lord is with his disciples, and he's in a ship, and he's taking a little cat nap. Now, how many of you know what a cat nap is? All right, you don't need a cat to have one, amen? You can have a dog and have a cat nap. And the older you get, the more cat naps you probably take. I know that's true in my life. I look forward to a cat nap every once in a while. I hope you're not having one right now. If you are, go home and take your cat nap later. Amen? Someone said, what do you do if your church is sleeping while you're preaching? Well, the answer is wake up the preacher because he put him to sleep. Amen? But verse 23, and when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Did you ever feel in your life that your life was like going through a really hard time and you thought that Jesus must be asleep on you too? I mean, here this ship is taken on water. Here are these disciples. I mean, we're talking about skilled fishermen in their trade. They're afraid. Listen, if I'm on a jet and the pilot comes to the back and says, I'm afraid, guess who's going to be afraid too? Me. If the pilot's afraid, I'm afraid. These fishermen were afraid on a ship. And they're afraid that those waves are going to sink them. In verse 25, and his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said, and he saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Man, that's really some remark, amen? They probably were thinking, what in the world is he talking about? Can he see we're up to our knees in water? Can he see that the water's coming in? And he's telling us not to be afraid. But notice, then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. I would like to have been there when Jesus just said, "Peace be still," to the elements of nature. And everything went from a raging storm to quiet sea. Amen. I'll tell you, there's power just in the name of Jesus. Just to whisper that name, Jesus, softly. Jesus, it's a peaceful thing. Amen. And verse 27, "But the men marveled, saying, 'What manner of man is this?'" Here they've been following the Lord day in and day out, and they're still in doubt and in wonder and awe over this man Jesus, what he was doing, what he was capable of doing. And he astonished them time and time again by the things he did and the things that he said. And verse 28, "And when they were come to the other side of the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce, so that no man might pass that way." And so he's misunderstood by his followers on this day. And sometimes we misunderstand the Lord in our life. Sometimes we question the Lord in our life, don't we? And so he speaks, and the nature obeys him. His power seems to be irresistible, as we've read in the scriptures. You know, when a person is under great conviction of their sin, it is then when this same Jesus can bring peace to their heart. Amen? Amen. What a wonderful opportunity we have to share with people that are under conviction, or whose people whose lives are falling apart, that they can find peace again in their heart. And that God can work all things out for His good, and He can rescue them if they'll humble themselves and give Him the opportunity to help them. And so he's asleep on this boat, and he shows his humanity by sleeping. And yet he shows us that he is divine. He is the divine one. And as God, the Bible says that he watches over Israel, and he never slumbers or sleeps. But yet, as a man here, he did take his cat nap. But it wasn't the circumstances that woke him. It was the disciples that woke him, not the circumstances. And you know, the circumstances never take God by surprise, any circumstance in your life tonight and in my life tonight. He's aware of every circumstance in everyone's life. And so when the storms hit us, as they do from time to time, Jesus still asks the same question, "Why are you fearful?" And at this response, they said, "What manner of man is this? We really don't understand who he really is yet, all this power, that even the winds and the waves obey him." And there's always confidence in just looking at Jesus. Amen? Our lives get so crammed by circumstances and things, and you know, life can get kind of hurried. Amen? Seems like you're running through the day, going from point A to point B, and not enjoying the journey either. But you know, in those times when life gets a little crazy, it's always good to just remember the Lord is with us and take a good look at Him. Amen? And to Him. He is still the problem solver. But He is a problem apart from divine revelation. And He's far above all men before or after Him, because He is God. And lastly, tonight, Luke chapter 7. Well, maybe I got time for another point. We'll see. I don't want Miss Jenke to get mad at me. Sometimes you guys get down there too early and I get yelled at. Not really. Luke chapter 7, verse 36. "And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him." Luke chapter 7 and verse 36. "And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat to meat. And behold, a woman in the city was a sinner. When she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisees which had bidden him saw it, they spake within themselves, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this that toucheth him is, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman since the time I came in hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Wow. Amen. You know why they're so upset with him? Because he had the authority to say, Your sins are forgiven. Amen. Who can forgive sins but God, they said. You know, in that, they were right. They were right. Only God can forgive sins. But what they didn't understand is he had the authority to say, Your sins are forgiven. And God has the same authority in our life to declare us righteous by coming to him in faith. And so they asked, How does he assume this authority? In other words, they were saying, Who does he think he is? That crime was a crime of blasphemy to claim to have the authority and to be in the place of God to forgive those people of their sins. They were upset. And they questioned him. And their questions about him showed their ignorance of him, that they really had no clue who he was. Mark records they're calling him guilty in this scene of blasphemy, claiming to be God, which was punishable by death. That was a very serious crime. What this one man spoke, they are all now thinking in that room, who is this guy? What authority does he have to do this? And so they're questioning, who can forgive sins but God? And they're right, only God can. You know, I was thinking of how he talked to Thomas at the resurrection, towards the resurrection, towards the end of his ministry. And he said, Thomas, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. To see Jesus is to see the Father. And after a miracle, some of the people said, Is not this the son of David? In Matthew chapter 12, and I think we'll close with this last example. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 23, And all the people were amazed and said, Is not this the son of David? And this is right after he heals an individual. Notice verse 21 and 22. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb. And he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, Is not this the son of David? The people that said, Is not this the son of David, were people that knew their Bible. Because in Isaiah 35, verse 4, it says, they were acquainted with the Old Testament. And Isaiah 35 says, Say to them that are of a fearful heart, Be strong. Fear not, behold, your God will come with vengeance. Even God with a recompense, he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. And so when they saw this wonderful miracle that Christ did, they were reminded of the prophet Isaiah and the prophecy concerning the Messiah, that it would be a healer, one that would do wonderful miracles. And so they believed on him because of that miracle. The promised Messiah would do all these things. I'm so glad that when I read my Bible that I see the common people of his time accepted him. Common people, just everyday people. Not the popular or maybe the religious leaders. They certainly resisted his authority and they criticized anyone who believed on him. But we live in a day when it seems like people only care about the outward, not the inward. You know, we're living in a day where people might even vote for a president because he looks like a president. Abraham Lincoln didn't look like a president. He's supposedly a homely man. Probably wouldn't get nominated in our day and age. We need somebody who's photogenic. We need somebody who's got a nice smile. We don't really know what a person's like unless we take a good look. Amen? And so, in any event, the issues of our day are too important. And with Election Day coming up, we need to be informed. And we need to pray. And we close that curtain, we pull that lever. Amen? But be informed. The founding fathers knew the nature of man was depraved, and that's why they gave us three branches of government. So that not one branch would have all the power. That's pretty smart. Because if one branch has all the power, you could be in a dictatorship for generations. And so, because of man's human nature cannot always be trusted, we have three branches of government. You know, I think about our economy. It seems to be going downhill like the Titanic. And Congress is still ordering room service. Can you imagine how ridiculous to be in the Titanic and the bells are ringing and the boat's taking in water and people are jumping overboard and there's some people still looking for room service. There are a lot of folks in Congress like that with our debt. And we still are throwing billions and billions of dollars away on foolishness. It's amazing that we're still around as a country. I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life when I've been broke. It's not fun. When you're broke, you cancel cable television. When you're broke, you cut up your credit card. When you're broke, you stop eating out fancy restaurants. When you're broke, you bring your lunch to work. Amen? You do what you have to do to get through the emergency. What do we do as a nation? We just keep on charging. But there is an end in sight, that's for sure. And if we don't put a stop to it, the end result will take care of itself. But we do what we have to do to get by in a crisis. Say, Pastor, you're grouchy tonight. Yeah, I know. The Yankees lost, so I'm a little grouchy. I'm sorry. They were crushed, though. I mean, they didn't even fight back, Jonathan. Not even one game did they win.
They didn't even take the lead that one time.
Man, do you know today the New York Yankees are walking around so embarrassed they're wearing sunglasses and the sun ain't out? Some are probably wearing disguises and wigs. I was looking at the New York Post. They had a picture of a signed autograph baseball. Do you see it? It said, Dear Yankees, we don't date losers. Sign New Yorkers. They're a little hard on the Yankees, that's for sure. But in any event, the common people observed his ministry and they were right when they said, truly this was the Son of David. This one who walked wearily towards Calvary is the same one who is walking towards us as the judge of all the earth. And he is the one that we're all going to meet one day. Amen? He's coming back. This same Jesus, the angel said long ago, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go. This same Jesus, one of these days, is going to come back to this old earth. Let us pray. Lord, help us to keep our eyes on you. during these days of uncertainty. Draw us to You in these days and help us to be faithful to Your will. Help us to be faithful to Your way. We pray that You bless our church and other churches of like faith, especially in this state of New Jersey. Continue, Lord, to send good men here to preach the gospel to the multitudes around us. And we'll be sure to give You all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. And we've got some birthday cake downstairs, all right?
The busy streets.